B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love.
How about this one? Man who allegedly threatened family with Coldplay lyrics ends standoff after SWAT promises him a pizza. Lyrics to what song? Because this
clocks.
Florida man accused Yellow. Of threatening his family by texting them Coldplay lyrics and warning them of retribution from his Nazi prison associates.
Yes, yes.
Was persuaded by police to end a standoff in return for a fresh slice of pizza. 4-hour confrontation at the Pensacola home.
I love this piece
of lyrics included, lights will guide you home and ignite your bones and I will try to fix you. Oh, fix you.
Yeah.
Isn't that the name of the song?
The lyrics from the song Fix You were meant by the band to be uplifting.
It's not Yellow. It's Fix You.
Though it's unclear how Macklemore may have meant them.
Why is their music so good?
You know, I was just
like,
I mean, everybody,
seriously, like everybody makes fun of it. Like, I like their music, I like it all.
Try your best,
is this not
you
good?
Don't succeed.
Well, you said all of it.
Most of it is.
When you get what you want, but not what you need.
That's pretty good. It's not bad. It's not bad.
When you feel so tired, but you can't sleep.
Lights will guide you home and ignite your bones, and I will try to fix you. That's what he texted. The SWAT team had to bring him a pizza.
Like, I'm going to kill you in kindness. This is my sword.
And kindness
my
was
that. My machete's name is kindness.
Yeah. Top of the noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. There was some news with the Patriots last night. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, had a report that Stephen Gostkowski is not retiring and Stephen Gostkowski is making progress on a new deal with the New England Patriots. You heard the same? You believe the same?
Yeah, I believe the same.
You believe it to be true?
I do.
All right, so he's making progress on a deal.
2-year deal.
Which means that, what? I'm sorry?
I think it'd be about a 2-year deal.
Oh, well, that's a key element that no one else had said.
I said that earlier, yeah.
Oh, okay, 2-year deal. Possibly.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, the coach was in West Hollywood last night driving a Porsche Cayenne, taking his girlfriend out to dinner. It was all over TMZ Sports. So what? It doesn't seem like he's too bothered by it.
Why would he be bothered by it?
It's just easy. We get this done.
So that means the kicker is coming back on a possible 2-year deal. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So he comes back on a 2-year deal.
This is after they cleared cap space by restructuring Stephon Gilmore, you know, and just pushing some money back to 2021.
Again.
Clearing up, what, 5.56 of cap space?
Yeah. So.
That doesn't mean that's going to Gostkowski.
They need the space no matter what.
Yeah, they need space.
So Field Yates had that report on Stephon Gilmore. He has restructured the deal. Gilmore converted $8.5 million of his $9.5 million salary into a signing bonus that created $5.67 million in cap space. That money gets moved into 2020 and 2021. They came into the day, according to the story on Pro Football Talk that was posted this morning, with over $4.5 million. In cap space. So I don't know exactly where that number is now. I think it's somewhere in the range of like 7.5, 8. So they've got space. They could sign the kicker, and then they've got their rookie deals. What is the deal with Tom Brady's contract, and why don't we have it yet?
Oh, it's the new money.
Don't you think it's odd?
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah, I do think it's odd.
Here's what's left on the calendar for the Patriots to do. Before they get to the season, they're going to have to sign the kicker. They're going to have to make a trade for receiver, and then they're just going to draft their guys. That's how it's going to play out. At least that's how I think it's going to play out. I don't think there's much else that's going to happen this offseason. trading for a receiver would be a significant move. But it doesn't feel like they're out there looking for anything else.
See, I agree with that. That sounds right, and that's pretty much what they're left with based on, you know, the lack of movement, not able to get, you know, the two receivers that they were looking at. And I really don't know where they were going to plug them in anyway, because you're basically working with slot guys. And, you know, the rumors about OBJ and stuff just tells me if you're not trading for somebody else's number one, who the hell are you going to get a receiver? And why would another team give up their number one to give it to you to make you better? And, you know, obviously you got picks to give up, and it's a team that probably, you know, you got to look at like the Raiders last year, where they, you know, Amari Cooper 4-1, and where Dallas got in on that. So the fact that they were in on OBJ, or that they wanted Golden Tate, or, you know, the Josh Gordon stuff that's still out there, and I can't count on Gordon. So Gordon to me isn't a one. He's not even a two for you right now. Because you don't know what the story is with him. You don't even know if he's going to be allowed to play. There could be some blockbuster on draft day that they just do it like they did for Randy Moss in 08, 07, when they loaded up. Because it's just like it's a bunch of special teamers right now that they've signed. And don't you think you need a decision by draft day for the tight end? Are we just going to keep this thing rolling?
I think it feels like they're just going to let it roll.
Which tells me they know what's going on. Like, they're not a team that deals this way. Like, you know what? You guys figure this out. This, you have deadlines. This guy is so attention. His attention to detail, meaning the head coach, of going over everything with a fine-tooth comb and being in complete control of things. Just got to dinner. Just got on the West Coast. Maybe we'll go on vacation. Tight end, let him figure it out. It's okay. Get back to us when you're ready. Who the hell's your tight end right now? If you go to form a huddle next week and a walkthrough, who's your tight end?
Here?
Yeah.
I don't think he's here.
We got to put somebody in a tight end.
I mean, yeah, somebody's they've got bodies. They've got bodies.
Wait, put Devlin in?
No, they signed that other guy.
Chucky LaCrosse?
Yeah, he's here.
LaCrosse, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
They got him.
Yeah, just put your hand down. Pretend you're tackle. Yeah.
What does that matter? There's nothing going on next week.
It's on the quarterback, and I'm getting in a huddle. I'm like, what the hell are we doing? You know, at what point? I mean,
quarterback won't be here next week.
I know he's not going to be here, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, your tight ends
say
right
your
now.
Team. Your team on paper, if you've got a huddle.
Matt LaCosse, Ryan Izzo, Jacob Hollister.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
You sure he didn't fall down steps and hurt his elbow or something?
You know, so last night.
At a non-contact drill?
I was talking with Phil Perry and Burt Breer on TV about this. For Rod Gronkowski to come back, and we've talked about this too, he wants someone else to be there who's going to take part of the load of playing the position, right?
Yeah. The everyday grind of playing a tight end.
He'll be more enticed to come back with another good tight end being on the roster. You know who they could be targeting? And there's a picture that I retweeted today.
Oh, you did?
Of Bill Belichick at Alabama Pro Day with Irv Smith Jr.
Got those little arms though, right?
Does Irv Smith have the short arms?
That's what Jim said. I think he's got like 28, 29-inch arms.
Is that
right?
I don't
care. Yeah, he can play. He can play. I'll take him. Yeah. Got a little meanness to him. A good blocking guy. Tell me he can't come in and do what Dwayne Allen did. He's not a better guy than Dwayne Allen.
Phil Perry's mock draft has them taking him in the second round.
Irv Smith in the second round with their original pick in the second round, the back end.
With number 41.
Okay, 41. I was going to say, I don't think he's going to make it all the way to the back end. So there you go.
It says trade 56 and 97 for a future and a future fourth rounder for 41.
To move up and get Irv Smith. Irv Smith arm length, 31 and a half.
I thought Jim said down the line yesterday he had short arms.
I think he was talking about somebody else.
Okay.
I think you had that wrong. So that's what I think they're going to do. Is that enough? I just wonder if that's enough to like entice him. Like, it's.
I heard a local kid had a pretty good pro day, too.
Who's that?
Out in Amherst.
Oh, Andy.
Yeah.
I've heard some things.
Thought some people said he actually he looked better in person than he does on film.
He's great. Yeah. He's fabulous. I know
Danny Amendola speed.
I know of a couple NFL teams that have done their due diligence on that player. I think they may have both played in the AFC Championship game.
Oh, boy.
Who
could those team two teams
I don't know.
Be?
Due diligence has been done by those franchises.
Which year? What year?
That's a good question. What year? I don't know.
What AFC title game?
I don't know. I don't know which one. They both played in the AFC title game. I didn't specify which one, but teams have done their due diligence on the player. One of those teams will draft in front of the other, obviously. I may have revealed myself there.
Never know to trade. Never know.
All right, let's get to the action update, get an update on things, and also get to a story in the NFL about the settlement for Colin Kaepernick. It is far less than what was originally reported. That has changed my opinion of that story. We will get to that. Also, did you see Tom Izzo flip out on his player yesterday?
Not once, not twice, three times. Yeah.
We should probably get to that later this hour. I know Hardy would be interested in talking about that, so why don't we get to that?
Yeah, we can do that.
But next, the settlement with Colin Kaepernick. What was it? What's the latest? We'll tell you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sailing away on the crest of a wave, it's like magic. Oh, rolling and riding and slipping and sliding, it's magic. And you.
ELO, right?
Yeah, you play something like this today, I'm bound to sit here and enjoy it. You know? 617-779-0985.
I don't mind a song, but I'm like, this is where Tom tries to get like overly creative.
That's a good song.
Attach it to what we're talking about.
I just want to sit there and listen to it.
I didn't know where that came from.
There's not. We're like the only intact show, it feels like, today. Is everybody on vacation?
Feels like
this
everybody
week?
Just checked out this week. Like just completely disengaged and unplugged.
Well, it's rich kids vacation week. That's part of it.
Whatever that means. Yeah.
What do you mean you don't know what that means?
A private school vacation.
Yeah, it's all the rich private schools go away this week. Some of them even for 2 weeks back to back.
That's awful. It's just stupid. Put your kids in school.
I saw Murray on Monday. He walks through the door. I go, oh, it's rich kids vacation week, isn't it?
Yeah, a little different.
That's what it is. Yeah. I get to, it's time for your spring break. Yeah, anyway. You know, I paid for the Wall Street Journal the other day. Those of you who are listening know this. Had to get that story from Andrew Beaton of the Wall Street Journal, who's got more today on Colin Kaepernick. Andrew Beaton of the Wall Street Journal reports Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid, the NFL stars who alleged the league's teams colluded to keep them off the field after they led protests during the national anthem, will receive less than $10 million to settle grievances with the league, according to people briefed on the deal.
$10 million? I thought it was 68 or north
of
that.
The confidential agreement was widely celebrated as a victory for the players, but the settlement is far less than the tens of millions of dollars Mr. Kaepernick especially would have likely been owed if his grievance had prevailed. It couldn't be determined how the payment is divided between the players and how much they will net after legal fees.
Oh, so this my God. Less, that's what that's going to be.
Less than $10 million combined. My take when it was reported at the start was that Colin Kaepernick had beaten the NFL. He won.
To me, that meant, and when those numbers first came out, I think Mike Freeman was the first to have it, actually, you know, somewhere north of $68 million, that, oh, boy, they've got something on the league, and the league doesn't want it to get out, and let's settle this thing. Let's give this guy a lot of money. Maybe not the case. You think he's going to play? You think he wants to play in this league again?
The original report was a number of NFL team officials are speculating that the NFL paid Kaepernick in the range of $60 to $80 million. Now, if that had been true, and for the sake of the argument at the time, we assumed it was true, and I said Kaepernick beat the NFL.
Yeah.
Based on this?
Got his butt kicked.
Kaepernick did not lose, but he didn't win. He didn't win if he was willing to walk away, and I would be more inclined to say he was on the side of losing. I don't know if it's a clear-cut loss, but that amount of money, do you know what that is? That's go-away money.
Yeah.
That's not even deciding anything. That's, here, we're not going to go through discovery and let all our personal stuff. Here, how much are you going to take you to go away?
And he took it.
Go away. $10 million for the both of you, combined.
Can you do an update, too, on the timeline with this jackass Mark Garagos? Even going back to last season when the Raiders and the Patriots were interested in signing his client. And then he said something as recently as, what, three, four weeks ago that, hey, in a matter of 2 weeks, within 2 weeks, his client will be signed to an NFL team. He hasn't been signed yet, Tom.
I will tell you, besides the Panthers, it would not surprise me if Bob Kraft makes a move. That would not surprise me. And it would not surprise me if his former coach, I'll test your knowledge, also makes a move.
I don't know that one off the top of my head.
Maybe he doesn't either.
I think that was Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
I think that's
Pete was interested. Pete kicked the tires. I think Pete just brought him in to see where he was at mentally. Like, Pete's played against him, knows who he is, probably just want to sit down with him and talk to him. And after that, you know, no, we're not doing it. Football might not be important enough for him.
Do you think he's done in the league?
Yeah. Yeah. I think once you haven't played for a while, you got teams going and asking J.P. Losman if he could still wants to play and come out of retirement because he threw at Clemson's pro day and he looked pretty good.
Don't you find some of it odd?
If he was good, he'd be signed.
I mean, he's out of the league, and he was the most prominent of the players that protested during the anthem, right? He's the most prominent. He's the...
He's a former starting quarterback.
I mean, he's the face of that protest is what
he
is.
Yeah.
That is what he is. But he's not the only guy. I mean, there are guys in this league right now that have protested, will continue to protest. And so what I've always said about Colin Kaepernick is he could be back in the league. Well, you could bring him back into the league. And people have always said, no, it's not just the anthem protest. It's that he's been outspoken against police as well. Right?
Yeah.
Do you know the Patriots already have a guy like that on their roster?
Yeah, Michael Bennett.
He sits out the anthem. He sits in the locker room, and he's been outspoken against police.
And he can go get the quarterback, and he's going to play for your team. Yeah.
So he's already – there are guys who already fit that description who are in the league. In fact, there is already a player that plays for the New England Patriots that checks off all the same boxes as Colin Kaepernick from a protest standpoint. Has echoed sentiments by Colin Kaepernick, has said similar things, had an incident himself in Las Vegas with police, and – has said that going forward, he will not be on the field during the national anthem. He will spend his time, you know, in the background, in the locker room, in a tunnel somewhere. He will not be present for the anthem. So what it's really about is not the protest, not about his protest, and not about, what he said. Because
this is shocking. This might be about football, huh?
If it was simply... No. I'm saying from the Patriots perspective.
Oh, I know.
If it was simply about that, that is not a thing that eliminates you from the New England Patriots. I can tell you there are other teams that would want nothing to do with Michael Bennett and would want nothing to do with Colin Kaepernick because of these things, because they disagree with the players and therefore they don't want them on their team. That, I think, is true. But I think there are teams where those things... we already know have not precluded other players from being on the roster, Patriots being one of them. That's why I don't think it was so insane that Garagos or anybody else was suggesting that possibly Colin Kaepernick could end up in New England.
Do you think he'll play again?
Probably not. Probably not. I just don't think there's enough teams that would have real interest in him. Because you've got to get over that first.
I mean, what are you bringing him in for? He is not going to be your starter.
His bigger issue, and this is where I disagree with you on this. His bigger issue is the protest, not his level of play. Yeah, he sucked by the time he was done.
But that compounds.
Sucky quarterbacks get signed in this league all the freaking time.
I understand that, but when you have all the other stuff that comes along with that, then it's looked at as baggage, as the player meaning a distraction.
Yeah,
not
yeah,
his cause.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong.
But that is
cause.
It. That's it. That's the part. That's the protest part. It's not his level of play.
You don't want to.
Guys with his level of play get signed all the time.
You don't want a player in your locker room standing there every day talking about all of these type of issues. You want your players standing there talking about football on a team that's coming.
And I do admit that if he were better, he'd have a better shot of getting back in. Yeah,
damn
of course.
Right he would.
Of course. If he were better in his final year in San Francisco, he'd be back in the league.
Look at LeBron James.
If he were the quarterback.
Look at LeBron James and how outspoken he is. He could go anywhere and play and formulate whatever team he wants to form because he's LeBron James. He's the best player in the world. And you deal with it. You deal with whatever he says, whether you believe him or not, or agree with him.
Well, that league doesn't have the problems with this stuff that the NFL does.
No, I know. Yeah.
They just don't. Their demo of fans skews younger. Their demo doesn't seem upset about players that have been outspoken in the NBA.
You follow the
in
most
the NFL,
popular players.
It's different.
Right? NFL seems like it's just more of a, you know, you root for your team. You don't root for. Now, I know, you know, Red Zone and stuff is, and DirecTV and fantasy football has changed the way we view football a little bit and how you root, but I think it's more of a, you know, team rooted, you know, team centric type sport than the NBA. NBA, you have, you know, like my kid the other day, he wants to come down and watch James Harden play because he knows the guy with the beard. Like, that's the way you watch the NBA. So.
I think we have some breaking news, though.
Oh.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Alex Speer of the Boston Globe says Chris Sale and the Red Sox are nearing agreement on a contract extension that will keep Sale in Boston for years to come. That's according to Alex Speer and his major league source.
Appears that a deal is imminent.
Yes.
For Chris Sale. Wow, I'm really curious to
You're
hear the numbers
this
on
one,
this.
Huh? Yeah.
Man, am I curious to know what they paid him.
Boy, they got some good medicals in
Well,
then,
the
huh?
thing is, they've,
well,
only got, they've only got 6 days before the drop deadline
well,
of 3/28.
Right, the winning
time. When
starts.
Winning time starts with the Red Sox, so the agent and Dombrowski better get to work and hammer out those final details. Get it signed, sealed, and delivered.
He's going to be, Chris Sale and I share the same birthday of March 30th. He is going to be 30 on the 30th.
But he is coming off a year in which he could not finish the season. And
final out, Beetle.
Could not finish the season strong again.
Final out.
And the condition of his arm to us is unknown.
Right.
They seem rather confident in it, but he's a guy who's now 30. Pitchers in their 30s can be risky.
Get that belly button thing going on too, man.
You know, there's one thing when you're talking about John Lester, who is as durable gets.
Right. Yes. Oh, gee, he was around the same age. It should be interesting to see how the Red Sox handle
and
this contract.
Their rationale was we can't sign John Lester because he's a pitcher going into his 30s, and that's stupid. How many times does a pitcher in their 30s not work out? And we also, but this guy's really durable. He hasn't shown signs of breaking down. This is now a player who's going into age 30 with signs of breaking down, and they're trying to undo the mistake that they made with John Lester. In fact, they said it themselves in spring training. The owner said it at the picnic table. We will await the numbers. But it appears Chris Sale and the Red Sox have agreed on an extension, and they will finalize that in the near future.
4 years?
The shorter, the better.
Oh, my God. If it's three, great. Thank you. Four?
I don't think the player would bite on three.
Five?
I think it's four or more.
All right, Hardy has headlines. We'll continue to keep you updated on that situation. As Hardy just told you, Alex Speer reporting that Chris Sale and the Red Sox are nearing an agreement on a contract extension that will keep the lefty in Boston for years to come. That is the latest from Fort Myers on the Red Sox and Chris Sale. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls if you've got thoughts on everything from the week, and also that story on Tom Izzo. We'll tell you what it is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
And there was a little bit of animation here from Coach Tom Izzo. Well, to his freshman, Aaron Henry.
You would think on a 10-0 run, Tom Izzo would be happy. Izzo now having words with the freshman, Henry, who seems a little bit perplexed. And then this is still in that same huddle here. The little lunge there by Izzo. And you see the players getting between. Emotions are high. This is tournament time, right?
And we're all friends now. Campus here?
Yeah, it's huge. Huge campus. Ginormous. Like, Mu U, old agriculture school. You like a lot of turf management? A swine research center? Down in the south part of campus?
I can't believe I had to take those courses.
I find this guy so easy to root against.
Tom Izzo?
How dare you? I love
him. How dare you?
Tom Izzo. And I think as the years go by, we have more and more things to sort of look at. And just not
turn
like
the ball over, you're responsible for it.
Not like
call the player out.
Still love find it. Him likable. He rips into a player yesterday multiple times and in multiple occasions was separated from his player by other players.
His face.
By other players grabbing him.
Well, get back on defense. You get back on defense, you won't get yelled at.
So Hardy is a blind supporter of Tom Izzo.
You want to go to the final four?
Because Tom Izzo has done much good for the basketball program at Michigan State. They've been to the Final Four six times in the last two decades.
Actually, more than that, I went back and double-checked. In 2015, there was a big article about it. Seven trips in the previous 17 seasons.
Okay.
For a while, there was a streak. If you gave Izzo 4 years, you were going to at least one Final Four. You want to go to the Final Four?
Go play
Michigan State. May not be a superstar. You don't have to be. It's a good team basketball. Four passes.
Those kids play
four
hard.
Four passes.
I like it.
Remember what we worked on in practice. Yep. I want to see it on the court.
I like it because the kids play hard for him.
Hell yeah, they do.
They all do.
Because they're not that good.
He's able to reset every 3 or 4 years, and he does a damn good job, and he's consistent. You remember in
you get Draymond Green. Every once in a while, you get a Draymond Green who goes through Michigan State, but they're not the players that Kentucky and Duke gets.
He doesn't have it in him to where he could call the timeout and just let the team come and sit and get ready. He takes his whiteboard and steps away and gets his thoughts ready. He just hangs it on. Remember when Jimmy and Henry Hill they were in a diner? Jimmy and Henry Hill were in a diner, and then he went outside and got the call that Tommy got whacked.
Yeah. Pushes the phone booth over.
Yeah. It makes me watch. Like I started to root against Michigan State because I wanted to see him get really pissed off.
He's a total hardo.
Yes,
I get it.
I get it.
Of course he is.
But he's got the track record, and
right. And
is there any player on that team who is surprised by an outburst like that? It happens during the regular season in seemingly meaningless games, and I say that I know every win counts, but they'll be up. They'll be up huge in certain games, and Izzo is losing his mind.
What do you think his blood pressure is?
These kids are used to it.
As Dan Wetzel wrote today, everyone knows exactly what they're getting by joining the program and joining Tom Izzo.
Yes.
And sometimes that means a lot of shouting and pushing and craziness on the bench. He goes on to write, the shouting was no big deal to the team. And then he references Cassius Winston, who you saw get involved and basically put two hands on Tom Izzo to try and get him to calm down. Winston, the team's junior point guard, saw Izzo berating at Henry and asked Izzo to tell him what the coach was trying to convey to Henry.
Right. Cassius Winston had to say, okay, what are you trying to tell him? I'll tell him because you two are not communicating. I'll tell him.
But isn't that a sign of a guy who's just flown off the handle?
And is
that's not doing that's not doing your team any good.
But the fact that they functioned at that high level, I think it's pretty impressive.
He couldn't communicate to his player what it is he wanted him to do and had to have an intermediary step in this case, a little bit of an older player, a junior on the team.
So he needs an interpreter.
Has to grab his coach and say, Coach, what do you want to get through to him? I'll do it.
Hey.
Why can't you do it yourself? That's what you get paid millions of dollars to do, Tom Izzo, while these kids work for free. So you can't do it yourself?
Sometimes it happens.
Make them likable.
Gene Hackman wanted Ray to take the final shot. And then the players kind of like stood back and said, no,
I thought you ran
give it to Jimmy Chitwood.
You're thinking of running a picket fence.
And then Jimmy says, I'll make it. Sometimes the players have to step in and let the coach know when he's wrong.
Ray,
it's a sign of a good team.
Ray's hair
team, Beetle. Team.
How did they get those kids' hair to never move in that movie?
Brill cream.
Almost lost it. Ty Anderson and Stakowitz was walking down the hall. It looked like the number 10. All right.
Here's Izzo after the game.
But that's not good enough. This is one and done time, you know? The my bads are out the window. If they're my bads because that team played better or that guy played better, if it's my bad because I decided to jog back instead of sprint back,
my bad. It's on me.
Then it is your bad, and you're going to hear about it. So that's what it was.
Go ahead, sir. You got a question?
If you leave me.
Okay. Front row, left side.
Hey, Tom. Jim Comperoni, SpartanMag.com. After the thing with Henry, you kind of knew you had to stick with him because you don't have much of a bench. And then they
love this question. Stop.
Right now, what is the what's the boiling point?
This is a good question.
Is he unloosening his neck?
Yeah, you got to stick with him because you don't have much else there, coach.
What are you saying? I don't recruit? You don't think I can recruit a deep bench?
I love that. There was a small little jab in the question.
That's a dig. What was the East Podunk Paper State Gazette he wrote for?
Right? SpartanMag.
Is that your little little blog?
No, I don't. Internet publication.
Probably.
All right, continue.
Yeah, Spartan Stoolies.
SpartanMag. Barstool Spartans.
After the thing with Henry, you kind of knew you had to stick with him because you don't have much of a bench. Yeah. And then the end of the game, did you call to feed the ball into him when the ball found him in the post? Did you go to him even though you challenged him because you knew you'd have to challenge him at some point?
Wow, what a question.
You knew you'd have to go
to him.
He's
still talking.
That's who you had to play with. Tell me about the thought process going to him late.
Yeah, okay, stop. Because right now,
he's going to down.
This is where the eye contact's made between he and Izzo, and Izzo's staring him down, and now the guy's really starting to crap his pants.
Izzo nailed it, too. He's unloosening his tie. He's scratching his face. Yeah. He's rolling his eyes.
This is when when Breer was eating popcorn in the Belichick press conference. This is great.
Okay. How's the answer?
How's the answer?
You challenged him because you knew you'd have to challenge him at some point?
No.
Or you knew you'd have to go to him because that's who you had to play with? Tell me about the thought process going to the place.
Yeah, we challenged him, and we said if he's going to down screen, McQuaid hits the one. And we said the next time we'll slip it and we'll get it to you in the post because we figured they'd jump out of McQuaid. And it sort of happened that way. And
it's good hoops lingo.
And he made a couple big plays in there, and which he's capable of doing. You know, I get a kick out of you guys. Get after somebody because you're trying to hold them accountable. I don't know what kind of business you're in, but I'll tell you what, if I was the head of a newspaper and you didn't do your job, you'd be held accountable. That's the way it is.
There you go.
In your face.
There you go. He wasn't doing his job.
Right.
And let's be honest.
What kind of business you work in, son?
These kids are employees. They're getting their scholarships. They're there to do a job.
That was Spanish.
And if you're not going to get back on defense in the first game of the tournament, you're not doing your job.
If you're a two seed. And you were just arguing the other day the fact that they're a two seed in Duke's bracket.
That
team should blow doors off. I don't care who the 15 is. They should have blown their doors off. Michigan State, man. Maryland was embarrassing yesterday as a 6, barely squeaking by. I tell you what, this tournament better crank it up. There better be some good matchups coming because it's been a freaking dud. Now, we are no college basketball show. I don't watch it all year, but when you sit at home and you're fed this tournament on 3 different channels, and this is all they talk about, and you hear Jim Nance's voice, and there's Clark Kellogg, and they're going round and round. Jay Billis is talking. I know Jay Billis doesn't do it because he doesn't work on CBS, but you better give me more. You better give me more in these games. These games are terrible. What's a good game that stood out to you? Did you watch that Kentucky Abilene Christian game?
Well, yeah,
it was 21-3. That team crapped its pants. Nobody wanted to shoot. God, we're playing.
Tell me you saw the end of the Auburn game.
New Mexico State Auburn?
Oh my God.
That was.
What did I tell you yesterday? I said you're going to see a lot of stupid basketball this weekend. It's going to be fun. It'll be dramatic. It will be exciting. But you will be asking yourself, where the hell is the coaching at the end of these games?
Maryland.
And it was non-existent in that one. Bad decisions being made left and right.
Maryland was a 2-point game.
Yeah, terrible. And they're running around jumping up and down at the end of the game. It's embarrassing.
I turned the channel. Level. It's terrible. The worst.
No. They act like they just wanted to cut
Gonzaga
down the
blue doors. Kentucky terrible blue game. Doors. I get it. Michigan blew out whoever they played, Montana.
They got Kansas next. Oh, no. They got Florida next.
But there were a couple of good games yesterday. They're not all going to be awesome.
Man, there was one year, a year
the games
or two
have been
ago.
Fine.
It was awesome.
It's been fine. I don't have any complaints about the games.
Oh, please. Look at this one. Cincinnati, Iowa.
You just don't
this
like thing, it.
This,
you don't like
this
it.
Game's already 10 points.
You just
and it's
don't
five
like it. It's what it comes down to. You don't like it. You don't enjoy it. It's fine.
Don't watch it.
Watch it next weekend. You'll get a better level of play next weekend.
Yeah, take the rest of the weekend off.
I got you.
Yeah.
I'll Fred touch her.
The numbers are in on Chris Sale.
Oh, are they in? Because I saw Jeff Passan's report.
Yeah, Jeff Passan.
Passan.
I'm going to guess that.
Who's it that said Passan? Jeff. What was that on?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm surprised that Bert Breer, that meathead Bert Breer, is defending Tom Izzo on Twitter.
Hey,
of course he is.
Remember when Hardy was out and Michael Bryan was in? It was Jeff Passan. Called him Jeff Passan.
Passan.
In his headline.
Well, Jeff Passan says 5 and 150 will be the range. I'm going to assume that Passan's numbers are accurate or close to being accurate.
It's just that, you know what? It's one more year than I'd want. Four is my cutoff, pretty much any player, any league. 4 years is plenty.
Chris Sale.
You don't want to pay JD Martinez yet, but yeah, you want to give Chris Sale
$30 million bucks a year for Chris Sale. That's the going rate.
What wins?
God.
Yeah, you got to pay JD Martinez.
What do you
too,
think, Billy Lanny? 5-150.
I've got a question Chris about Sale. This. I've got a real pertinent question about this deal that I don't think the Red Sox will be able to answer. We'll get to that coming up next. Wow. More of your calls as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up? What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's what I want to ask the Red Sox, and they'll never answer the question. If Chris Sale went out this coming season and had a Cy Young type of year, how much more money would you have to pay him than the $30 million that you will reportedly pay him?
I guess, why do you throw that caveat in? Why do you throw that in there?
Because it makes sense. His deal is up after this coming season. So what are you really achieving on this deal? When there is uncertainty about the health of his arm.
I don't understand why it's on top of like... So.
Well, I am assuming that it's going to be tacked on, which is what you're about to talk about.
Right.
I don't believe they're going to rip up this year of the deal. It's a player option.
It's kind of the way they do those deals in baseball, though.
$13.5 million.
You stack it right on. And so this deal doesn't kick in until next year at the age of 31.
Right.
Oh, poor John.
If it ends up being five at 150...
They're
essentially signing a 30-year-old pitcher to a 6-year deal.
That's what you went nuts about the Martinez deal. That's like what Paul Goldschmidt got. I know you're talking
for
about
the next
pitcher.
6 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you already had him for the first year.
Yeah, but okay, we'll take the 30-year-old for 6 more years.
I don't believe they're going to give him the raise in year one. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll find out the details in the coming days.
I like Chris Sale. I think he's great for here. I just see him, and I just like want to pick my teeth with him. Yeah, I mean, it's just, he's so damn skinny. I'm like, I worry about him making it through health.
I was wondering how you're going to land that plane.
No, but I'm
a
like,
nice job with it.
He looks like a freaking 6'6" walking toothbrush.
I just see Chris Sale. I want to stick him on a plate and sop him up with a biscuit.
Yeah. Okay, there are 5 pitchers in baseball that have an average annual salary of $30 million or more.
How many?
5. He will now be the 6th.
Oh, boy.
Are you sure that he is a top 5 guy for the next 6 years?
Mm. You can't say only that based on how the last two years have gone.
Everything is assuming health, but that's the biggest question with him. Yes. Assuming health, yes. Of course he is. Yes.
No, his tell-off at the end of years is well-documented. Like, he fades at the end of years. And they talked about this last year. You brought it up in the last segment. We're going to get ahead of this. We're going to sit there, smart owners, on the pending table and say, we learned from our mistakes. Not a mistake. But we want to maximize our players. What do the Patriots do with Rob Gronkowski? You sit his ass all preseason. You get him up and going when? Week 10, week 12. And then you go on your run. You can't guarantee that for 6 years. You're getting that out of him. He's a damn good pitcher. Favorite pitcher on the staff. Love him. This is...
David Price.
This is typical Dombrowski, though.
$31 million a year. Clayton Kershaw just re-signed. $31 million a year. Zach Greinke, $34.5 million a year. Scherzer up at the $37 million mark in Strasburg's deal, which was a seven-year deal, and many have accused it of being sort of a phony baloney deal that he's going to opt out of anyway. That has the AAV at 38.3, which is crazy. But there are five guys. He'll now be the sixth over that 30. So I'm telling you, if he went out and had a great year and he pitches great this year, how much more would you have had to pay for him to know that he's completely healthy? Or to have evidence that he can make it through an entire season. When he's on, he's great.
Yes.
Again, it's the reluctance to let these guys play in the final year of a deal for the guys they want to keep. And it's certainly not uncommon for the Red Sox and most teams. They don't want to... Hey, what's the point of making this guy play out his contract when we can re-sign him early? I'm more of the belief that it's okay to let guys play in the final year of their deal without having a new one in place. But Red Sox don't like doing it. A lot of teams don't like doing it. Just real quick, are you okay with what they paid David Price? Based on what David Price turned into, if you believe he turned a corner in the postseason,
yes.
Well, then you should be okay with them paying Chris Sale this much.
But I've seen Sale physically fade off. I haven't seen that from Price. Price has had his issues with tingling.
What would you rather have? A guy who, and again, David Price turned the corner, but up until this past season, David Price was that was more likely to stay healthy but couldn't get it done in the postseason.
Almost needed Tommy John 2 years ago.
He couldn't get it done in the postseason. Would you rather have that?
That's fair. Okay.
I just wish they would be this aggressive with Xander Bogaerts.
Here's what I'd do.
This is part of my aggravation with it, too.
But Mookie Betts' agent, I'd pick up the phone right now and say, oh, you guys open for business, huh? That's a $30 million player for you, huh?
They don't need to do anything with Mookie yet.
No, I know they don't need to, but you know what I mean?
No, but in these terms,
how's Betts look at this?
If Chris Sale is a $30 million a year player, can you in good conscience make the case that Mookie Betts is not a $35 million a year
player? 4 years from now, advance that. What's Chris Sale like in 4 years and that money he's going to be making? What's Betts going to look like with another 4 years under his belt, really in his prime? You mean you can't give that guy $6 million more than you're giving Chris Sale 4 years from now? That's the way teams look at it. And guys on teams, you sit there, and I know it's a different position. Quarterbacks are different at receivers. Linemen are underpaid. Centers don't get crap. But you sit there in the same locker room with everybody, same clubhouse, and that guy comes in, and he looks different. You look at him different because, okay, he's getting
paid. I don't view
now.
This deal as a safe bet for the Red Sox at all. Too many question marks about the arm. Too many question marks about the durability, even when he is, quote-unquote, healthy.
You could say this is this is the most high-risk contract that they've signed somebody to.
It's very high-risk.
I'm trying to think back. I mean,
you could go back to Carl Crawford. You could go back
Pablo
to
Sandoval.
I mean, there have been risky deals. But in terms of a pitcher.
What about under this?
In terms of pitching contracts. This feels like the riskiest pitching contract they've signed.
They must have some real good reassurance.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.